All right, take your Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn in our Bibles to, let's see, get it right here. Got the wrong one. Pull it out here. Hold on a second here. There we go. Hebrews chapter 11, if you will. Hebrews chapter 11. I had a message all planned for Nathan's ordination, and the ones that we've been doing on the going through Genesis with Abraham, take some study and putting it all together, and I really wasn't quite ready. And to be honest, when we were on vacation, this one just kind of came to me, and almost the whole outline just, boom, there it is. And I thought, well, I'll pull it out. And it kind of goes along with where we are, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. I think it's going to be a blessing to you. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, we're going to bounce, hit a couple of things real quick in chapter 11. Then I'm going to read a few verses in chapter 12 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now when we first start this walk of faith series of messages with Abraham, we preach that out of that passage right there. Faith is something tangible that occurs even though we can't see it. It's something that occurs because of something we hope for. That hope is not just I hope, and cross my fingers and cross my eyes and cross my toes and everything else. It's a confident expectation. I know it's going to happen because I have God's word on it. So I have hope because I know it's going to happen, though I have not seen it happen, and maybe no one has ever seen it happened before. I mean, when Mary was going to have a baby, she hoped that everything was going to go fine, and she was going to have that baby. But no one, a virgin, had never given birth before. Okay, so no one had seen it before, but it was going to happen because God said so. And so you arrange your life, you live your life according to that hope. So it says the substance of things hoped for. It says faith is also the evidence of things not seen. Faith is action based on a promise or command of God. That's why in James it says faith without works is dead. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It's talking about faith. Faith. If faith doesn't change what you do, doesn't change where you are, then you don't really believe it. And so he says it's evidence. The evidence of things not seen. And watch first verse 2. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report by their actions. You say, well, then they're working for it. No, the actions are evidence of their faith. James said, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. It's kind of goes along with what we were talking about this morning. You believe God, well, then it's going to change what you do. If you believe God's promises, you're going to do what it takes to get in on those promises. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, he says faith is the evidence of things not seen. I'm not going to read it all. Verse 4, we have by faith Abel. Abel did what he was supposed to do. Cain didn't. Cain said he could do whatever he wanted to do. He didn't have to sacrifice the right way. Verse 5, by faith Enoch. He believed God. He trusted God. He walked with God. His life was lived out of faith. It was the evidence. What he did was the evidence of his faith. We don't see the faith, but you see, it's like seeing love. You can see the evidence of the love, but you can't see love. You can't see faith, but you can see the evidence of the faith in what we do. Verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned, they had the ark. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed and did what he was supposed to do. By faith, verse 11, by faith, Sarah, she received strength to conceive. By faith, we come all the way down to verse 20, by faith, verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered Isaac. And then we have Isaac's life. Then we have verse 20, we have Isaac blessed Jacob, And Esau, so verse 21, then by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. So by faith, they did things. By faith. By faith, you have Moses. Verse 23. By faith, we have Rahab. Verse 31. Now let me read. Let me start reading here in verse 32. Now we've got a lot of folks here that are not named. The fact is, these people, their faith was tried almost more than the others. Abraham, by faith, left the town. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith, Rahab hung the scarlet thread out there and hoped they were going to come and get her. She had nothing to lose, everything to gain. But look at these here, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time should fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah and of David also, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned in flight the armies of aliens. That doesn't mean they were from space. Verse 35, women received, watch this now, women, we don't know who they are. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. In other words, they didn't see heaven. They just did what they were supposed to do, knowing that their life with the Lord is coming. It was evident to things not seen. Verse 40. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, verse 12. Wherefore? Wherefore? Seeing what? Seeing what we just read. These people who lived by faith. And the last bunch there, they not only lived by faith, but their life led to death because of their faith. Now sometimes we say, I don't have any choice because you're afraid that we're going to die. The three, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you say, well, they didn't have any choice. Yes, they did. They said, well, we're not careful to answer you, king. Whether our God's going to deliver us or not, we really don't know, but we're not going to bow. That was their choice. Now, wherefore, verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, it preaches great. We think about all the people in heaven looking over the grandstands of heaven, looking down and say, go, 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 go. Well, first thing, they're not omnipresent. They're not omniscient. It all sounds real good and preaches real well, but I don't really think that's what it's saying here. What are we talking about, the great crowd of witnesses, is these people who have gone before us, who have given witness of what they believe by what they did in their life. They showed the evidence of their faith by what they did. So let's go back to verse 1 again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Look, he didn't care about the shame. Look down on the shame. Doesn't mean anything. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I'm going to put a little different perspective on this passage, but I don't think I'm doing it damage here. I think you'll see it. I'm going to ask this question tonight. Are you part of the cloud? We don't have to wait until we're dead to be part of the cloud of witnesses. Are you part of the cloud? Let's pray. Father, give me thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to rise up in arms of faith. Help us to decide we're going to take a stand. Help us that we're going to live for you and not anything deter us. Determined to be part of the cloud. So Lord, bless us. We ask for your Holy Spirit again. Help me to explain in a way, or with your Holy Spirit, let me get out of the way and let you do your work in the hearts of our folks here. May we take our walk with you as serious as we should. And again, we'll give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. I'd plan to do a message, as I said, for Nathan's ordination, but we had to postpone it. And we want to make his ordination credible. But I didn't want to rush through the preparation of the next message on our faith out of the life of Jacob. So I had this outline that came up to me. And it really goes quite well with the Walk of Faith series. We are created to bring God glory. Hebrews 11, 6. Is that what it is? Nope, that's not it. Where is it? 6. No, it is. It's in there. I didn't put that in there. We are created. We are and were created for His pleasure. Was it? That's right. Revelation 4:11. I'm sorry. That's right. But we are created for His glory and for His pleasure. Now, our lives are to be a testimony and a witness of the mercy and the love and the power of the Lord. Let me say that again. Our lives are to be a testimony and a witness of the mercy and the love and the power of the Lord. That means if people ought to be able to see mercy and love and the power of the Lord in our lives, we should witness that out. Our testimony should be an encouragement to others to continue on in their life of faith. That is what the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are recorded for. And many folks are familiar with the term, as is used today, the cloud. You use that word, the cloud. Now, it's really not a cloud. But it seems like it. You see, there's this network of computer storage that is connected to the internet that we can be connected to that holds, if you will, great amounts of information. It's out there somewhere. And basically, we have access to it and all its information at any time. The resources are there 24/7 and available for our inquiry. And they have an impact on our thinking and thus our lives. And it changes what we know, thus it changes what we believe, and there's a constant impact on us. Now watch me. The Word of God is also a testimony of God. That is there for our edification and our instruction. There are recorded events and testimonies to encourage us in the Word of God, to spur us on to great heights in our walk of faith. There have been many people over the centuries that are part of a cloud of witnesses that have encouraged us to walk with God. We've just listed a lot of them. The cloud of witnesses, if you will, is kind of a haze of thoughts and memories that encompass us. It's a cloud of impressions upon our hearts. Now, my question tonight is this. Are you part of the cloud of witnesses? Or are you part of the crowd of scoffers and cynics and faithless that Satan wants to use to disperse the cloud? What kind of witness are you? I'm not talking about whether you hand out tracts. I'm not talking about right now whether you're giving out the gospel. That is part of it, but that's really not what I'm talking about. Does your life support the idea of faith in God and God's regenerative work in the deceitful hearts of mankind until we become new creations in Christ? Or does your life give testimony that trusting God is foolish and unprofitable? Does your life say, now there's a person who believes in God? Or does your life say, now there's a person who believes God is just a religious ploy for the intellectually challenged to use as a crutch? Heard about that this morning. Our lives are a testimony, and the record of all that we are is in the cloud. And it's going to be accessed by someone sooner or later and affect their walk with God to some degree, whether in this generation or the next. Are you part of the cloud of witnesses for Christ or part of the crowd that witnesses against him? Let's find out. Number one, are you willing to stand in the day of persecution? You ever hear the old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going? Didn't mean they run out of town. It means they stand up to the challenge. Now, wait a minute. If we're not standing in our own faith alone, the arm of flesh shall fail you. Look what it says there in Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And we just saw all that. The word witness, you know the word, is martus. It basically means those that are willing to give testimony to the truth, even if it costs their own lives to do it. They're willing to give testimony to the truth. They want to stand for truth, no matter what the cost may be. Truth is more important than their own physical lives, because truth is, if we don't have a physical life, we're going to be in heaven. We have lost nothing. To live as Christ, to die is gain. A great cloud of witnesses is somebody where truth is more important to them than their own well-being. Now, that cloud of witnesses are those that give testimony to the faithfulness of God by indirectly simply living a life of faith. It's the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. That cloud of witnesses is, listen, they didn't go around and say, watch this. No, they just lived the life. And their life was a testimony of what they believe. And what they believe is that God is true. And His Word is true. These witnesses have proven their belief in God by their actions. Faith without works is dead. But their faith is not dead, but living and willing to be lived out even unto death of this life, as they look forward to true life in the presence of God. They're martus. They are witnesses. They are a witness to the truth no matter what the cost. Do you stand in the evil day? Ephesians 6 tells us this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Having done all, put on the whole armor, so that we can stand. Now listen, that whole armor, though, is an armor of faith. Our faith is seen because we stand in doing what God has called us to do in that armor of God. And we're going to stand. And when we stand, it's proof of what God can do in us. It's a witness. Well, if I stick my neck out there, somebody might chop it off. But a witness says, that's not the point. The point is, I'm going to live truth, no matter what the consequences. And our truth that we live out will be a witness to those around us. Paul had a testimony. 2 Timothy 4:5, he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, I'll guarantee you, Paul never saw that crown of righteousness before. But he says, I know I got one. I'm going to live, no matter what the cost, because I know what God has told me. Paul had a testimony. Some folks witness against the faithfulness of God. And I'm not trying to be mean here, but you know, Mark went out on the first missionary trip there with Paul and got scared and went home. Now, you know, the fact is we've all gotten scared. He has some growing to do. And let's not beat him up. And Paul later said, bring Marcus because he's profitable to me. But early on, fact is, Mark got scared and went back. You know what he was saying? God can't do it. Now, he had to grow him to do it, but he did. Now, listen, we've all failed from time to time, come up short. Mark's a good guy. I mean, he must have been pretty good if God had him write one of the Gospels. And he didn't ask me. So Mark was a pretty good guy. But the fact is, there was a moment. That, by the way, that means if we can be, we may fail to be the right witness now, but we don't have to do that forever. Some witness against the faithfulness of God. Demas, Paul said, hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Demas said, you know what? Things of the world are better than the things of God. He didn't end up being part of that cloud of witnesses. Now, Paul said some pretty good things about Demas earlier. But Demas said, you know what? I'm tired of living like this. I want something nice. I don't want to have to live like this. And having loved this present world, left. John says, it wasn't John himself, but he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They're not part of that cloud of witnesses. He said, we're supposed to, if we're going to be part of the cloud of witnesses, we need to endure hardness. Paul said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Watch. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We jump down to verse 9. It says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. He said, why am I doing this? To be a witness. Part of that cloud of witnesses to encourage the next generation that's coming. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. We don't believe it. You don't have to believe it. That doesn't make it non-true. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," right there, "some were sawn asunder." You ever read a book of the Fox's Book of Martyrs that were burned at the stake? Why? Because they wanted to give out the gospel of Jesus Christ. People who wanted to make sure that the Bible was in the English language so the average man could have it were hunted down like animals. All because they wanted to give them the Word of God. But they said, what the people need is the Word of God. So I will go as far as I can until I'm hunted down, till they string me up, till they skewer me with a pole and burn me. Part of that great cloud of witnesses. Right now, our last verse says we haven't resisted unto blood. Somebody looked at us kind of crossways and we got our feelings hurt. And maybe that's all we have to do right now, and be grateful that's as far as we have to go. But I'll tell you what, if it's real, I really believe this, if it's real, God will give you grace in the evil day to stand. If you'll be part of the great cloud of witnesses, and I'm not talking about later, I'm talking about today, are you willing to stand in persecution? Number two, are you willing to get rid of those things that hold you back from being all that God has called you to be? Our lives right now can be a part of that cloud of witnesses. Listen, we'll look at it this way. When these kids come in here on the bus, they ought to walk into a whole cloud of witnesses, not just a few here and there. It ought to be all over them. You're just engulfed. Years ago, my folks and I went down to Cass Railroad. I think that's what it was, down in West Virginia. Is that the one with the Shea engines? And they go up the side of the mountain, and it goes almost straight up the side of the mountain there. And you get to the top of the mountain, you can see forever. Except the day we were there, it was raining. And we got to the top, and we got out of that train, and I'm talking about a cloud. You walk out in the cloud, you could hardly see the hand in front of your face. I mean, literally. I never see anything like it. Of course, they say, oh, it's going to be beautiful when you get up there. Well, not that day. The cloud ascended. Listen, when someone walks inside this church, and they, you know what they do to a certain extent? But they should feel God's presence like they just walked in the middle of a cloud. In fact, we were in the middle of a cloud. It wasn't raining, but you were getting wet. You know what I mean? It was rain cloud there, and it was so much moisture. You were literally getting wet because you were in the midst of the cloud. I'll tell you what, when folks walk near us, we should be part of that cloud. You get close to them, they're going to get splashed with God. They're going to feel the evidence of Him. They're saying, something's different about that person. But you see, if we're not willing to suffer persecution for Christ, and we're going to run when things get tough, we're not part of that cloud. And if we want to be part of that cloud, we've got to be willing to get rid of those, this is hard, rid of those things that hold us back from being all that God has called us to be. Look what it says there in verse 12. And see, we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That word weight means a mass, watch, that causes us to bend or stoop when carrying it. Kind of like when you carried your wife across the threshold when you got married. No, I'm sorry. But it causes us to bend or stoop. It means to make the muscles bulge because it's a strain. In other words, there are things that are holding us back. Watch this. What is in your life that is stealing your energy and your effort that should be being used toward accomplishing something for eternity? Are you willing to lay aside everything that we're carrying along that's just holding us back? See, this is a witness because it shows our priorities in life. This is important so we have all our strength focused on the things of God. What is important to you? Now, listen, we live life and we can have a good time and we like to have things and so forth. But listen, as soon as that thing stops you, is taking all your energy, you're not able to serve the Lord like you're supposed to serve the Lord, then it becomes a good thing, becomes bad. What's important to you? I'll tell you what's important to you. What you spend your time on. Now, you're what you're here tonight. And many of you will be back here on Wednesday night. Some can't because they work. There's nothing you can do about it. And you're dying. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was in college, I had to work on Wednesday night. I'd never worked on Wednesday night since we had gotten married. I mean, you know, we had joined the church over the open door. I hated it, but I felt like a heathen missing church on Wednesday night. But the fact is, you know, Sunday's the Lord's day, and you know, if I was going to work and feed the family, I had to work on Wednesday. It wasn't much I could do about it. And so, but the fact is, they were going to get the Bible out, and they were going to tell us some things and teach us some things. I wanted to be there to catch what I could catch. What do you spend your time on? What do you spend your money on? Now, this is nothing wrong with having things and good things. Abraham was rich. Jacob was rich. Job was rich. There's nothing wrong with having things. But the fact is, if those things keep you from doing the work of God, then maybe those things are no longer valuable as much as we think. What do you spend your finances on? What do you spend your intellectual efforts on? Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need to clear my head and do something stupid and mindless. Thinking is hard work for me. I know I say it, but it is. It's hard work for me. So I understand you need distractions and so forth. You need a break. I'm not talking about that. But what's taking your priority? Good things can be foolish things if they keep us from the best things. To be part of the great cloud of witnesses, we need to have every available resource in our lives set aside for the Lord's work. Not let the weights so easily get us. Stand in a day of persecution. Get rid of those things that are holding us back from being all that God's called us to be. Number three, are you willing to get rid of sin in your life? Hebrews 12 says this, wherefore seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. And the grammar would mean lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. The sin which doth so easily beset us. That word, I've kind of explained that before, but beset us means to be put on the sidelines, to be put on the shelf, to become unusable. Whether by choice or whether by consequence, what is it that's in your life that has actually put you on the sidelines and you're watching everybody run the race beside you? We got to get rid of things that stop us from being all that God has called us to do. And sometimes it's just a plain sin. Sometimes sin can catch up to us. We got to be careful. Well, I'm getting away with it. Maybe you're not. Well, no one knows. The Lord knows. This is one that is part of the cloud of witnesses who wants to get rid of any sin that hurts his testimony. It's not about how much he can get away with and still look good before others, but how much sin can I get rid of and please my Lord, even if it offends others and makes life hard for me? I had a buddy of mine I went to high school with, and he's a Christian. Says he is. Still gives testimony of it. But when I was at my high school reunion, I turned around, there he was holding the beer. And a lot of our folks, a lot of the kids who we went to high school with knew which ones were the Christians. His daddy was a pastor, and right now he's kind of helping to head up this little church. But there he stood with a beer in his hand. He just stepped out of the cloud. One beer. If you walked into the restaurant and you saw me holding a beer, just about everything else I say from this pulpit would fall on deaf ears. Well, it's just one beer. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. I remember years ago, I was at one of those car shows with my dad, and certain guys specialize in certain things and so forth, and he was talking to this fellow, and it was hot, and he said, tell you what, and of course, they'd bring in their motor homes and their campers and all this stuff and set up their flea market, and the guy said, hey, come on in here, let me step in here, I got the air conditioning working in the motor home here, it's hot out there, let's sit in here, and we'll discuss what you want. And so we went in there, and the guy opened the refrigerator, and he got out a beer and looked at my dad and said, you want one? This was long before my dad was saved, but they were never drinkers. And he took it. I remember he looked at me. I'd never seen my dad with a beer in his hand until then. He popped the lid. I took about two swigs. That's what we call them, swigs. And he put it down, and they talked business. Now, I love my dad. I think he's one of the greatest men ever lived. Honest as the day is long. But I hate to say that he went down a peg that day. I realize he's just a man, and I needed to know that. But he went down a peg that day. And you don't know who is standing under your cloud. There's a haze of testimony and witness around your life that somebody is watching. And does some sin in your life make it disperse? 1 John 3 says this, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And if thou not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever commits sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Watch, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. You're not going to run around sin and sin. And we're all sinners, and we're all going to sin before we go because, there's none righteous, no, none one. We know that. But what he's saying there in the context, he says, those that abide in him will not spend a life of constant sinning. Whosoever hath not seen him, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. He's not spending his life living in sin. It's not. He's going to try to purify himself even as he's pure. For his seed remaineth in him. In other words, the Holy Spirit's in there working. And he cannot continually sin like that. Cannot sin because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifested. Here's how we know that they're God's children. And the children of the devil, whosoever doth not righteous, is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Just plain love. And by the way, there's no closer brother than the ones that live under your roof. Don't you call yourself a Christian and rake the person underneath your roof over the coals all the time. Don't call yourself righteous, because he that does is right, he does lives righteously is righteous. He that commits sin is sin. He's not righteous, not living righteous. He may be have imputed righteousness, and he may be saved, headed to heaven. But how we live is going to show us who we are, what we stand for. And I'll tell you what, there's way too many people in their own homes who are not part of the cloud of witnesses. They're part of the crowd that witness against him. They're living in their own flesh. Number four, you're part of the cloud. Well, number four, what does it take to stop you? He says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, all those things that not necessarily bad, but they're just holding us back, and the sin that does so easily beset us, that puts us on the sidelines and we're unusable, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience. That word patience, cheerful and constant endurance. In other words, you're running, but it's not always fun. You're running, and it may be hot. You're running, and it may be cold. You're running, and it may be raining. You're running. We're to run the race. It didn't say only run the race when the weather is good, when the circumstances are what they're supposed to be, when everybody likes you, or when they're cheering you on. You run the race that is set before you. You run with patience the race, the contested effort. When I was a kid, I was a chubby little thing. Not much has changed. And I remember we had to run track, and I remember having to run the mile. It was not fun, but I'd finish. And I wasn't last. I wasn't even next to last. But I was in that part of that crowd. And you know what I mean. That's just where we are. But we run the race. It's effort. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Listen, the crowd of witnesses are the ones who are willing to stand up for Christ even when it's hard, to run the race over time. By the time I'm going across the finish line, they're already headed to the showers. There was nobody there saying, go, Sterling, go, Sterling. See you later, Sterling. That's what we were hearing. Let us run the race, watch, that is set before us, placed there by our Creator. Fear and hardship stopped Mark. The love of the world stopped Demas. Sometimes a lack of gratitude stops us from serving. Sometimes a lack of respect from the world. Maybe the mocking of the world. But what did he say? Verse 2, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, watch this, despising the shame. Despise means to look down on, make light of. Well, they're making fun of you. Yep. I'm going to finish the race, though. I'm going to finish the race. We started the race, we're going to finish the race. And we're going to finish it the best we can. Let me ask you this. How much does public opinion mean to you? Public opinion. We don't run the race because of public opinion. You don't become part of the cloud of witnesses of God because of public opinion. In fact, if you're a good member of the cloud, chances are public opinion is not very high of you. Who are you trying to please? Look what verse 2 says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what that means? He's part of the cloud. Of course he is, but he's part of the cloud. How's he part of the cloud? He, with joy, endured the cross, knowing what was set before him, knowing that he was going to be saving us. He despised the shame. Remember this. We're not all called to run the same race. We're supposed to run the race that's set before us. See, I'm not competing against you. I'm competing against the course that is set before me. And here's the great thing is, though the armor of flesh will fail you, if we put on the armor of God, we can run the course that is set before us. Do you realize that we have a different course, so you have a different set of graces, if you will, for God to talk to help you through that? You ever, he said, well, I don't know how they did that. Well, you don't. That's because you don't have to do that. But they did. So God gave them the grace to do what they need to do. Well, I could never do what you do. Fine, you probably aren't called to do that. I can't do it either. But I can with God's grace. I'll tell you what, when I first came up here, well, even before, I guess I did some counseling, there was times when I sat down, I'm thinking, oh my, and I remember someone said, we need to talk to you, Pastor. And I still pray, don't get me wrong, it's all of him. But I remember thinking, Lord, I don't have any idea what I'm getting into. I don't know what in the world they're going to do. And I wish I knew more than I do. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm praying, Lord, I'm going to go talk to these people. What am I going to tell them? And I can't tell you how many times when we were all said and done, I went back out of the car and took notes for what I said. I thought, boy, that was good stuff. I don't know where it came from. It was all out of the Bible. I could see it, but I didn't even remember. I don't remember even learning that. But there it was. And it was obvious right out of the book. And just as clear as it could be, go home and take notes. Because it gives you grace to run the course that's set before you. See that? Listen, that's why the cloud of witnesses is so great, because every person who's part of that cloud is different. We're supposed to run the race that's set before us. You say, well, yes, I know. There's no temptation hath taken us but that which is common to man. Well, watch me. The course is not the same. No more than any marathon course is the same as the next. You got the Boston Marathon, you got this marathon, and some of them have hot hills, and some of them have turns, and this and that. They're all different. It might be the same distance. We want to get to the end, but the course is different. We do have the same God to look to, and no course is too tough for God. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. A lot of people say, well, God won't tempt me beyond that which I'm able, so I guess I'm going to be able to handle this. No. You're going to handle it because he's going to make a way of escape for you. And you've got to take it. It's not within you to do it. That's the whole point. So what he just said, he won't tell beyond that which we're able to do it with his help. What takes the top to stop you? I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it one more time. If you stop because you're not getting a pat on the back, then you were serving for the pat on the back. Oh, no, I wasn't. Well, then don't stop. Now, I like a pat on the back. You guys are very gracious to me, and I like to pat folks on the back. Not trying to flatter them, but encourage them and let them know I appreciate what they're doing. Most of all, I'm just glad to know that God used me to do something in somebody else's life. That's really, that I'm not a waste. You know? I mean, and people, we need that. But the fact is, you don't stop just because you don't get a pat on the back. Just because they don't wave your flag. Well, I don't need anybody to wave. Well, that's fine. But you know what? Whether you need it or whether you don't need it, whether you think you need it or you don't think you need it, we all like to have that, but we're not going to stop because we don't have it. To be part of the cloud of witnesses, we don't let anything stop us, because who can stop God? Because the witness is of the faithfulness and the power of God. So if we stop, then we just said God's faithfulness and power is insufficient. Right? Last one, number five. If we're going to be part of the great cloud of witnesses, we got to do this. Are you determined to finish right? Finish well. Don't be a flash in the pan Christian. Don't be a morning glory Christian. We blossom every Sunday morning and put on our smiles and we're wonderful, and then the rest of the week we act like the devil. We're not part of the cloud. Lord talks, he talks about the soil and the seed, and says some spring up fast, but they wither away because there's no root. You know, many mighty have come and gone. Proverbs 7:24 says, "Hearken to me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is a way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." Now, I know it's talking about being tempted and lust of some kind, and he uses that there as a symbol of lust and things that get the best of us. But that's just it. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There's some folks will get on the course, and they get tired. And instead of asking for God to give more gas to keep going, they start looking for some place to sit down. And I hate to say it, a lot of times we're standing in the way of sinners, and sitting in the seat of the scornful, rather than delighting in the Word of God, like a tree that's planted by the living waters, that brings forth fruit in their season when it's due. Leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever do they prosper. We are to run the race with patience, cheerful endurance, enduring hardship, but knowing that the final outcome, whether we will determine whether we appear to win on this side or not. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, "I have fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." Don't leave flash and pan Christians. I told you my story, that one day I decided I was going to see what I could do if I actually ran in gym class. Let me see if I actually give it everything I got, see what happens. And we were running, I think it was the 220. That was back before it was kilometers, 220 yards, old days. And I just decided, and there was a boy who was always a hot shot, and he said, "I'm going to get you all, so I'm going to..." And I said, "Okay." So a musician decided, said, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start out as fast as I can, and then I'm going to keep a beat. One, two, one, two, one. And I'm going to speed the beat up as fast as a continual to speed it up at a slow pace until I can't go any further. But I'm just going to speed up." So I actually got faster and faster and faster and faster as a 220, because I stopped thinking about being tired. I just thought about one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. And I was going, and I left this guy in the dirt. Really did. I mean, it was gone. But that was it. Why my gym teacher took me to the county meet to run hurdles? I don't know. 220 hurdles. Listen, I do just fine. It's hard enough for me just to go on a straight plane here, not hurdle over top of hurdles, you know, and get my belly over the hurdles. I mean, come on now. But he did. I guess he needed to fill a spot. But I'm running hurdles at the county meet. Well, that was dumb because I was a flash in the pan runner. I'm going to try it one day. A lot of people run their course in life with the Lord. I'm going to try this with no intention of staying at it. Now, let me say this. John says, if we say we have no sin, make God a liar and the truth is not in us. But if we sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse from all unrighteousness. Some of us have already messed up in our race. I understand. And you say, well, I guess I wasn't in, I'm not in the cloud anymore. The fact is, you don't have to stay there. You can get back in the cloud. Well, some say, well, I started really late. Go ahead. Get in the cloud. Grandma Moses didn't start painting until she was 90. Go ahead and get in the cloud. I'm going to run my race from here on out. Well, I've kind of messed up but we can reestablish it. Some of you already have. Now the Lord is using you again. But I messed up my witness. I know, but God can use you again. He's faithful. Whether he uses you to do exactly what you did before is one thing or another. I don't know. But the fact is, you can still be part of that cloud. I'll tell you what. You know the stories. I don't know all the stories. But that man who fell running at the Olympics and wasn't going to win, but he got up and limped the rest of the trip and crossed the finish line. And you know what? More people know him than the fellow who won the race that day. Of course, I can't think of his name. But more people know that story because why? He said, I'm going to get back up. Get back in that cloud. Be part of the cloud of witnesses. And sometimes, you know, we don't want to have to go through the bad stuff to get admiration or anything. The fact is, people know when the Lord has when we become a work of grace. We may have been down at the bottom, but we get a work of grace. Now, these witnesses finished right because they were looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. I think they added to their faith. 2 Peter 1, we've been through that. Add to your faith virtue, and virtue, knowledge, temperance. They held to the word of God. Book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosper, then thou shalt have good success. Why is that person part of the cloud? Because he followed the word of God. They got rid of every weight, anything that held them back, or held them down that made it more difficult would possibly stop them before they finished. They got rid of the besetting sin. That's not always the same thing with everybody. Sometimes it's just a root of bitterness. They despised the shame. Don't tell me you think you're going to finish the race. I'm just going to keep going by the grace of God, I will. People are encouraged and strengthened by seeing the faithfulness of others in the face of hardship and persecution. People are encouraged by those that finish well. And I guess my question tonight is, what kind of witness are you? Are you part of the great cloud of witnesses? Or are you part of the great crowd? There's a lot of those that witness against him and say it doesn't matter. Be part of the cloud of witnesses. Father, thank you. A little thought here this evening.
But Lord, it's an important thought. And may we decide we're going to take a stand and be what you've called us to do, to run the race, stay in the course, finish it, run well. Heads are bowed.